Hello and welcome to the PMM podcast. This episode, we're talking electric vehicles, or EVs. And I say we because Freya and I will be catching up together later in the episode to discuss a chat she had recently with Mr. Matt Cleaverley. Matt, as I'm sure many of you will already know, has been at the forefront of EV uptake in the UK and has done a sterling job of promoting the independent garage's role in the servicing and repair of EVs. Firstly, though, I spoke to our new partner for the next three episodes, LKQ ECP's Head of Workshop Solutions, Mike Bell, about EVs. Hello, Mike. Thank you for speaking to me today. Could you just introduce yourself quickly for our listeners?
I can. Thanks for having us as well, Kieran. So I'm Mike. I work for LKQ Euro Car Parts within the Workshop Solutions Department. I'm the National Sales Manager. I work with 15 garage equipment diagnostic specialists around the whole of the UK and Ireland as well.
So what does that entail then, Mike?
A lot of miles. a lot of long early mornings and late nights. So effectively, I travel around the UK, spend time with my team, going into garages daily basis, going into our branches as well. And ultimately, our goal is to help and support garages' growth, future business plans through technology, training, equipment, which may be distress purchase or not.
Yep. So you're speaking to actual garages themselves then, sort of week in, week out. I understand you have kind of a background with garages yourself.
I do. I'm well in with it. My granddad owned a body shop in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
in Liverpool. So yeah, going quite way back. My dad actually worked for him, and then he left and then became an auto electrician. And then he started his own garage equipment company, and he sold that. And then I came in 19. I think I've been doing this on the roads, in and out of garages now, for maybe 10 or 15 years. I think it's 15 years, to be fair.
Yeah.
So a long time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you've really been through the ringer then.
I have. Grey hair at 18, a lot.
So, Mike, we've kind of met halfway here because we've met in Tamworth in the Midlands, sort of driving in. It's kind of distribution land around here, really, sort of warehouses everywhere, because we're in the heart of the country. Not only heart of the country, though, LKQ, Eurocar Parts, sort of heart of the industry, really. So what comes with that then? What comes with that territory?
For LKQ being kind of the heart of the industry, heart of the country, yeah, I think... I mean, look, we are the biggest automotive parts supplier in the country. We are. What comes with that is probably surprising for a lot of people to hear. It's responsibility. We're in a place where we need to ensure that we are looking at what's coming in the future, looking at what's coming around the corner, ensuring that we're set up to support our customers. And we have to know our customers as well.
Yeah, well, you've got an astounding amount of branches, right, across the country.
A 280,
right?
Yeah, 280 top to bottom, right the way across. 280 branches, yeah.
So you really have to sort of be on top of what's kind of coming down the line. Sort of the big change, sort of in government policy, I guess, towards transport, and something that we're discussing in this episode later with Matt Cleaverley, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah.
Are electric vehicles the kind of and the more in general electrification of transport? Government's pushed that back, or at least pushed back the ban of ICE vehicle sales from 2030 to 2035. They did that last year. So what's your take on that? Basically,
it's not ideal.
No,
I think it's created some uncertainty. I think. As responsible business owners, whether that be ourselves, whether that be our customers, everybody's kind of working to that date. That's been pushed back, so it does create a bit of uncertainty. But ultimately, I think it kind of doesn't matter in the same sense, because what's happening now is not going away. We are in a place where hybrid is growing, electric vehicles growing within the car park. And that's happening now, regardless of 30 to 30, being pushed back to 35.
So it's a hiccup, but we're still on the same track. We're still going down the same.
People's mindsets are there. You know, enough customers now, end users, are driving electric vehicles, have done out of warranty periods and having them repaired, that it started, and it won't slow down.
Yep. And how are LKQ Eurocar Parts then? How are you preparing for that?
The best way we can prepare is help our customers to prepare. Is honestly, we are, and it sounds a bit cheesy, I suppose, but when we speak to
customers, we're all here for cheese.
With no aftermarket, there is no LKQ Eurocar Parts. We don't exist, and our business strategy, our business philosophy is support our customers to grow and to be innovative in what they're doing.
Yeah, it makes sense. No customers, no LKQ Eurocar Parts. So what's the best way then you can
our best way is being able to have a conversation with our customer and to find out how they're set up, really is the number one. So we have training techs is probably is the number one. Mm-hmm. I think from the start, we have 95% of our customers are yet to do their level four hybrid.
Okay. And that is something that you offer at your academy?
That is something that we offer at our academy. And it's kind of, what is our academy? Our academy is an in-house training facility, IMI approved, courses City and Guilds approved as well. We have training locations, Glasgow, Sunderland, Manchester, here in Tamworth, down to Avonmouth, with a few more locations that we're looking to do as well, hopefully by the end of this year.
And why? Why is it important that techs and garage owners prepare themselves for EVs? So is there a risk of them being left behind?
I get that question a lot when I'm out and about and I'm talking to customers, and so why is it important? I think the biggest I would say negative statement, that's probably the best way to do it, that I would get from a garage owner is, well, why should I do it? I don't see electric vehicles. And my answer is, do you advertise that you do electric vehicles? No. That's why you're not seeing any of them. We know that 50% of customers who buy an electric vehicle will then move garage. They don't give you a warning or say goodbye.
No.
They go. And that's because you haven't kept up with the times and your customer base's buying habits.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you for speaking to me today, Mike.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Speak to you next month.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers, Kieran.
Thanks for that, Mike. Great chat. And looking forward to catching up with you next month. Now, over to Freya for the news from the aftermarket.
Thank you, Kieran. As always, I'll jump right into it. It has been revealed that 16 vehicle lifts at MOT test stations in Northern Ireland have been affected by hairline cracks, in what some may see as a replay of similar issues from 2019. The issue was brought by DUP MLA Deborah Erskine at the Northern Ireland Assembly last week. Thankfully for the affected test stations, the equipment remains operational and the stations are still open. This comes as Northern Ireland faces delays in MOT testing. The two new MOT test centres planned for this year have been pushed back to 2025, whilst the other, originally scheduled for 2022, has been delayed until later this year. UK garages are being accused of pink pricing after a blind survey conducted by car management app Cowra found that garages are charging female customers an average of 5% more than their male counterparts for the same job. The investigative survey was carried out using the alias Edward for the male customer and Emma for the female customer. They then contacted 100 UK garages and requested an MOT and or servicing quote, each time for the same car with the same mileage. The only difference being, of course, the name attached to the quote request. One garage had the audacity to quote Emma £475 for work, which they priced at £130 when dealing with Edward. To wrap things up, we'd love to invite you, our listeners, to our trade show Mechanics PMM Live. the UK's longest-running trade show dedicated solely to the independent aftermarket, has added another show for 2024, taking place at the Yorkshire Events Centre in Harrogate on the 16th and 17th of May. This is on top of returning to Sandown Park in Surrey on the 12th and 13th of November. The show is free to attend, so register your attendance now at mechanics.info. If you're not already convinced, Kieran caught up with Natasha Rowell from A2B Components, who is exhibiting at both shows this year.
I went there, this was when I was nearly qualifying. I thought, let me see what tools are available, what deals are there. Someone in my college at the time told me about it. And then I thought, oh, maybe I could actually promote here at this stand. Then I came across yourself and your team. I think the show's brilliant because you get to speak to the end user. So I sell through different avenues to motor factors who then sell to the end user. But it was nice to speak to the end users, people like-minded like myself, who were like, actually, that bolt's really good. This tool is really good.
Yeah.
In terms of footfall, it was a good show. Like, it was constantly busy. There was a lot of colleges that came, so groups of young apprentices, and I just finished my apprenticeship. So it was really nice to talk to them.
Thank you, Freya. I love how much Natasha loves mechanics, even more than we do, I think. Right, anyway, Freya, don't go anywhere. You've been out and about this month for our main feature. Why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Don't worry, Kieran, I'm staying right here. So, unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you'll be aware that electric vehicles are two of the buzziest words in the automotive industry. And it's no wonder. With the amount of misinformation floating around about them, such as how the electricity grid supposedly won't be able to cope with the demands of mass EV adoption. And that's not even to mention garages, facing issues such as finding the time and resources to train their staff to work on EVs. And this isn't a recent issue either. In fact, when I was doing research for the episode, I found an article on the PMM website from 2017 urging independent garages to upskill technicians on electric vehicles. With all this in mind, I trundled over to Cheltenham to visit Matt Cleveley from Cleveley EV, basically to get to the bottom of why he loves EVs so much and why more garages should join the electric club. I'll leave it up to him to tell you more about his petrol head to EV journey.
So I am Matt Cleveley of Cleveley Motors and Electric Vehicles. Cleveley Motors is a three-generation family business that's 60 years old. My grandfather started it. And then 7 years ago, I bought an electric vehicle myself, had a horrendous buying experience, realised that main dealers weren't going to be able to keep up with the EV work and promote EV adoption properly. So I set about building a business that would do that. And that's how Cleveley EV was born.
So you had a bad experience and then that inspired you to do a better job, basically?
Absolutely. Main dealers, we've known as independents, we know that the main dealer franchise network is terrible. It's always been the case for petrol and diesel, but when it comes to EVs, you've really got to understand how they're used and how to benefit from them. So the ones that I visited had no idea, didn't want to promote EVs at all, wasn't enough money in it for them. So they weren't interested and therefore weren't prepared to sell an EV. And so I wanted to create a business that people could come to understand how an EV would benefit them. But also, because of my workshop background and career, I thought it'd be a good aside for the customer to have a fully functioning workshop that understands EV and can take any stress or concern away about the reliability of the vehicles, and we would just fix and repair them and maintain them.
And what would you say the main benefits, both for drivers and mechanics, of electric vehicles, both for mechanics and for drivers?
So first and foremost, electric vehicles were produced so that they could reduce emissions from towns and cities, the places where we need emissions the least. So aside of the pollutants out of the tailpipe, EVs are a tremendous driving experience. The electric motor providing 95% of its torque and power instantly is a really addictive driving experience. And as an ex-petrol head myself, I love the driving experience and I couldn't go back now. But there's benefits such as lower running costs. There is less servicing work to do and less opportunity for some certain garages to make money as well out of them. But so for me as an EV owner, the running cost thing is massive. We've got solar at our house and on our workshop here. And so we can run our electric vehicles for very, very little.
Okay, so very good. So have you ever driven an EV, Freya? I mean, you'll remember the one and only time I've driven one, if it even counts. So when we went to see the EV conversion company, Fel10, did that very Clarkson-esque video for Instagram.
I personally think you look more like Ed China in that video.
Ed China.
But what do I know?
Maybe I should get my hair cut. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that might be what I'm saying. Maybe you should shrink a bit as well. He seems to be very tall. Anyway, to answer your question, I've never driven an EV myself, but my dad drives an EV van for work and he really loves it, so much so that he's talking about getting a hybrid as our next car.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because hybrid is like a bit more accessible for us. We live in a terraced house and stuff. It's hard to get the infrastructure. But I have to say, I really like how Matt describes how he got into working on EVs. Very much a, if you want it done properly, do it yourself vibe.
Yeah.
And I respect
and
that.
Sticking it to the dealers a bit,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to give me a bad time, I'll show you how to do it properly. I also liked how he seemed really open to talking about the downsides of EVs, which you'll see a bit in the next clip.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
Are there any parts that you have to replace more often in electric vehicles?
They're heavy vehicles. So the lithium-ion batteries weigh upwards of 200 kilos, depending on the size. So they are heavy vehicles, and we are finding that tyre wear is greater. So tyres we would replace more on an EV, and tyres have their own particulates, so there's a negative argument against EVs for that. But you can see 20, 25,000 miles out of a set of tyres, and a spirited ICE driver would achieve the same or less as well. So, but yeah, slightly heavier tyre wear in an electric vehicle, I suppose, is a slight negative.
Yeah. In a recent article in PMM, you expressed that now is the time for independent garages with EV work to win EV work from dealers. When taking on EV work, where is the best place to start?
Absolutely. I strongly believe there's a massive opportunity for garages to get into EV like ours, little independents that understand them and we're prepared to work on them. Franchise dealer network isn't the greatest. They're having skill shortages the same as everyone else. But so where to start? The way we did it, and doesn't have to be this way, but we threw ourselves into the EV world. I bought one, my wife runs one as well. We were going to EV owners meets and finding out what they actually wanted to know from their garages, and really shouted about being an EV trained workshop. So get your qualification, get onto people like Hevra. So that's the Hybrid Electric Vehicle Repair Alliance. It's a network of independent garages that are qualified to work on electric vehicles. They do some promotion, and the EV community, they talk inwardly and recommend different places. So being part of the Hevra network has been a promotional tool for us, as has being on the owners groups ourselves and owning and understanding these vehicles first and foremost. We're now finding that our traditional ICE customers are buying EVs and are very happy that they can continue to use our services, even though we've pegged ourselves as an EV specialist. So we've not lost any customers, and in fact we've gained a whole new wrath of customers that bring their ICE vehicles and second and third cars in the family to us. So our customer base has grown because of this, and it's not shrunk.
Yeah, okay. I see there are two sides then, I guess, to EVs. Matt points out that EVs present an opportunity for independent garages, a big opportunity for little garages, as it were, which I think puts a human face on what is quite often seen as quite a techie product that probably isn't associated with families. Do you think that's fair?
What do you mean by that, Kieran?
Well, like when people think about EVs, they think about Elon Musk and quite advanced. Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah, probably.
And quite advanced technology, like those awful looking Tesla Cybertrucks.
Oh, so if you're Bob down the road, your local trusted garage started offering EV servicing, people might be more likely to purchase EVs.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it's like a family garage, like bricks and mortar down the road, you know, it kind of reinforces the message that you don't have to be a tech bro to drive an EV. It could just be a family looking for a car. What kind of people do EVs best suit?
Well, let's listen on and see what Matt has to say.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Everyone that an EV would suit. So by that, I mean, if you're just commuting, if you're doing 20, 30, 40, 50 miles a day and in towns and cities, then you can drive an EV. For those odd occasions, and this is what we tell our customers that are looking to buy, what is your actual use case? So there's so many people will only do a 200-300 mile journey a few times a year, well, in which case then it's perfectly capable to use an EV. And I do 12,000 miles a year in my electric vehicle with no problems at all. The public charging infrastructure increased by 40% last year. There are lots of private businesses that see it as a business use case now. So there's chargers cropping up all over the place for those very random times where you may need rapid charging. So yes, we're perfectly in a position to adopt EV technology now with no real concerns. And I don't think it's the government's fault or problem for infrastructure to be put in, because we didn't ask them to build petrol stations, yet they're still everywhere. So it'll be very much the same with EV chargers as we move forward. But yeah, to answer the question, we could make the switch now, not for everybody, but for the majority who understand it more. And range anxiety is a big thing that I do presentations to various groups to understand, for them to understand it a little bit more, because it is a thing. But also getting out of that flat to full mentality, it is a big thing for EVs as well.
People don't do that with petrol. You don't fill up your whole tank.
Exactly.
Every time,
and
yeah.
The amount we see that come in for MOT with in the reserve of their fuel tank, they're putting themselves into a range situation anyway. So yeah, it's not a thing, but only experience of driving an EV will help with that.
Yeah. You mentioned rapid charging. I guess also most of the time you don't just, if you went stopped in a service station long journey, you'd stay for like 20 minutes anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I will not stay at a rapid charger longer than 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's to check my emails, grab a coffee, go to the loo, whatever else. It's a quick stop. It's only meant to be a quick stop, up to 80%, carry on again.
Yeah.
And to go no further. And the quicker the education about that comes out, then we'll all be a lot happier.
One of the other obstacles is the skills crisis. So like the IMI was predicting a shortfall of like 25,000 EV qualified technicians if the trends were to carry on. What do you think could be done more to make sure that more technicians are EV trained?
I think an acceptance that this is a technology that's coming into our industry and that we're going to be facing day to day. I'm on a number of mechanics Facebook groups, for instance, and the hatred of EV that's on there.
We get it. Yeah,
absolutely. Well. So a change of attitude and not seeing it as, you know, you choose one side or another. We're here to look after vehicles, and just because it has an electrified powertrain doesn't mean it's the devil. It's still a car at the end of the day. So we look after around 40% of our day-to-day is pure electric vehicles that come through the workshop, which is a really high percentage. But of those cars that we see day-to-day, most of it is steering, suspension, servicing work, MOTs, tyres, things like that. It's car things, stuff that you would work on in any other garage. It just happens to have a big battery and an electric motor that drives it. The amount of high voltage work, which will involve a lot of specialist training and experience, probably makes up 10% of our EV work. So it's a small amount, and any garage can get into working on EVs at the most simplest level. And you don't necessarily need to have a level 4 qualification for that, just an awareness of high voltage and how it operates.
I understand what Matt was saying about how a lot of people hate EVs, especially on Facebook, it seems, a lot of petrol heads.
Yeah, they certainly do, don't they?
And we even get it on the PMM Facebook.
Even PMM is not not free from the haters.
I think we posted a story about how a certain percentage of motorists would never get an EV. Someone commented saying, don't blame them.
Yeah. I think, like, what I don't understand, like, I get, obviously, you know, a lot of people hate EVs for whatever reason, but what I don't understand is it gets quite political, and I really think we need to kind of remove the politics from EVs. Like, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense that just because you think one way politically, that should have any sort of reflection on the way you think about EVs. Seems a bit mad. Quite a lot of what Matt was talking about there, though, however, I feel comes down to sort of changing attitudes or making drivers change the way they think and the way they act as well towards transport. To be honest, I mean, for me, staying 20 minutes at a petrol or charging station, to not even have a full battery at the end of it, I'm not sure. Isn't that going to cause like massive tailbacks on the motorways and clog up towns?
I think what Matt was trying to say was people don't often fill up their tanks fully with fuel. Is it the same with charging?
students don't fill up their tanks. I think everyone else.
I'm 25 and I don't fill up my tank the whole way, but it's fine.
Fair enough.
Whilst I think there is a more human aspect in kind of the change of attitude, I do think there is still an element of politics in being able to allow people to adopt EVs in the best way possible, such as infrastructure and education that might be down to the government, especially if they want net zero by 2035. But the government can't force people to get EVs. They can't force garages to adopt EV training and to start working on EVs. So it is tricky. I think everyone just needs to have all the information they need to make the right decision for them.
Yeah, and I guess that is a good point, like, you know, with the ban by first 2030, now 2035, this is being, you know, whether we'd like to sugarcoat it or not, it is being imposed on us by the government. And, you know, I guess people do have a right to be angry about that. But I think, you know, it is important to remember that the point of EVs is to make a cleaner environment. That's the theory anyway.
Yeah, supposedly.
Anyway, should we listen to the final bit of your interview?
Let's go. What would you say to the argument that it's greener for motorists to keep their old ICE vehicles than buy a new EV?
Absolutely agree. Yeah, as an environmentalist supporter and sustainability fan myself, yeah, run your car as long as you can before making that switch. Absolutely. We should only be changing when we really have to. So I agree with that. And it's not an anti-EV argument. That is it's an honest truth and something that should be considered if we're looking at it from an environmental standpoint. I changed because I didn't want to pump out emissions whilst I'm driving around. Plus, this added benefit, side benefit, is it's a fantastic driving experience. I wouldn't go back at all.
So it's definitely better to look after your old car than to buy a new EV when there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, and 60% of our work in this workshop is still ICE. We're still very much with ICE, and we support ICE, and we earn decent money from it. But our highest average invoice valued vehicle across everything we look after is the Tesla Model S. So we can make more money off of EVs as well. Now, that might just be because of our specialism, or it might be the sheer volume of them that we see over anything else. But there's money to be made in EV. There's still money to be made in ICE. I don't think you have to pick your camp. You just have to advertise your skill set well.
Me and Kieran always compare cars to phones in the same way, like, it's not good to always just buy new phones all the time or buy the newest model of everything.
Absolutely.
It's better to look after what you already have. Same with clothes, same with anything environmentally wise.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're coming from an environmental point of view, then keep what you can running and what you've got as running for as long as you can.
What's one thing you would say to any EV skeptic petrol heads to get them on side?
Drive one. Whether that's in anger or whatever. So as a company, one of the first things we did when we set up EV in 2018 was we bought a Tesla Model S, a dual motor car, and we rent it out to anyone that wants to understand more and have an EV experience. So come and rent our car from us, drive it, thrash it, and really understand what the driving experience of an electric vehicle is. Now, I have a performance Model Y, and my Teslas that I've owned previously, I've taken on track. And round Thruxton, my Tesla Model 3 that my wife drives was quicker than a BMW M3 all day long. So if it's exhilaration and power that you want, you don't need the noise that goes with it and the burning of the fuel, but just, electrons are the way forward.
Yeah, it is definitely better, I think, just to keep your old car, keep it going for as long as you can, take it to the garage, get it repaired. The best way to protect the planet, and probably some listeners won't like this, is simply to drive less.
If only public transport was more accessible outside of London.
Ah, touche, touche. Maybe I'm part of that metropolitan elite we're always being told about. But as Matt was saying, the Tesla Model S is his highest ticket item. So that would suggest that overall servicing, you know, whilst it's lower than with ICE vehicles, there is still scope for quite a lot of profit to be made off EVs. And what it's all about in the end, I mean, it is important to remember that Matt is not the UK spokesperson for EVs. He's just someone who, like all of us, would like to live in a cleaner planet. And like all business owners, would like to make a profit. And servicing EVs has allowed him to do that. And all he's saying is that this is an opportunity open to other garages.
I think it's less about the profit and more about not turning away work as well.
Yeah.
EVs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, like that kind of family garage that's down the road, they get an EV turn up, you would like to think that, you know, they're your trusted garage. They'll be able to sort you out whatever you've got.
Yeah, exactly.
And not turn you away.
Yeah, exactly. So has Matt managed to convince you to start taking on EV work in your garage? Or will you remain a petrol head forever? Maybe you just need to take one for a ride like Matt and see for yourself what they're like to drive. Either way, Mr. Cleveley has certainly given us at PMM some food for thought.
And on the EV theme, I spoke to Allied Nippon recently about their new EV braking range. Should we take a listen to that, Freya?
Yes, please.
Your wish is my command.
Hi there, I'm Matt Ellis. I've been working on the Allied Nippon brake development team for 4.5 years now, but I've basically been around braking for my whole life. Some of you may recognise my dad's name, Keith Ellis, or as he's known around here fondly, Dr. Friction. So yeah, as much as I've tried, you know, it's relatively become inescapable that I developed some sort of passion for braking and for the wider automotive industry. Anyone that knows my dad knows that he likes to talk. And the only thing he loves more than that is to talk about braking. So, yeah, it's almost as this has been destined to happen. But, yeah, I'm enjoying my time in the industry.
Fair enough. So braking very much in the blood then. Mm-hmm. So brake pads, they're not usually the centre of the conversation, really. But you're trying to change that with your new EV Plus range. Could you just tell us a bit more about the range?
Yeah, so, I mean, at the moment, EVs are obviously on the rise. The aftermarket, kind of the servicing aftermarket, you know, isn't huge right now. But, you know, there's an estimated 84 million EVs on the road by 2030. And I think we just saw another year-on-year growth of around 18% in the UK for EVs. So they're definitely on the way up, which ultimately means there are road users out there, there are customers out there, there are drivers out there that have EVs and, you know, deserve our attention. So what we've done, you know, with EV Plus is we're trying to change that narrative and we're trying to introduce a premium product, a kind of dedicated EV product that is still at an affordable price point.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, definitely EVs certainly on the rise and continue to rise for quite a while. So what do these pads in particular then, what do they offer to drivers?
So aside from just a pretty face, which they absolutely are, these pads are kind of developed entirely with the needs of EVs in mind. So we tried to kind of address three key areas, one being the noise, the other being stopping power, and the other being environmental sensitivity. So the noise has really been much of our focus and is generally the centre of the narrative and discussion around electric vehicles. So we've selected the CEM115 friction formulation to use on these EV Plus pads. It's not an entirely new formulation for us as manufacturer. We've been trialing it both on our dynamometers, but also out in the market now for the past 5 years. And we've seen really, really positive results in terms of reducing noise claims. So we've kind of identified it and have now have quite a lot of trust in it, in the fact that it can perform very well in reducing noise, which is obviously very, very critical in kind of protecting that serene, quiet driving experience that the EV drivers will obviously value. The narrative, which is often lost, I think, in my opinion, on EVs, is that they're much heavier vehicles. You know, the acceleration is faster, but they're also very heavy because of these big batteries. So for us, one thing we wanted to really focus on and make sure didn't get lost was that they need to have a much better performance. And that's something that we've really, really focused on. So the material itself, CEM115, not only is it a quieter material, it's also a much more friction-stable material. So the feeling of kind of in brake application, it is superior to compared to our standard formulations and probably other standard formulations out there in the market. We've also added the brake boost compound on the surface, which essentially is a resin-based bedding in compound that gives instant friction right out of the box. So there's no bedding in process required by the user or the garage. It's safe immediately. The other thing that we've done on the performance side of things is we've added a new process called scorching, which is entirely new for the Allied Nippon brand and any of the Comline Group brands. There's a scientific and a non-scientific way to explain scorching. The scientific way is essentially it's given quite an intense heat treatment at the factory that helps to release, to kind of make these resins gaseous and release them out of the pad. So that if you didn't do that during the first kind of time the pads really heat up, those resins were, and gases would release, and they'd reduce the contact surface between the disc and the pad, which ultimately reduces the braking performance. What we can do by scorching the pads is those gases are released in the factory and not on the roads, and that will ultimately improve the braking performance of the pads. The easier way to understand it is essentially that the pads are taken to kind of brake school at the factory. You know, we're scorching the pads, we're teaching them, look, when you go out in the real world, you know, you're going to be hot, you're going to be treated aggressively sometimes on the road. And by doing that, when they come to have their final exam in the real world, when you really need them to act, they think, oh, I've done this before, I was taught this at brake school back in the factory, and they know exactly how to act, and then they're going to stop you safely.
Fantastic. Thank you, Matt. Well, I think we've covered everything there. Thank you for speaking to me today.
Very nice. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Freya, for your fantastic interview with Matt Cleaverly. Check out the first of Matt's new EV columns in the next issue of PMM. Next month, we'll be talking about the MOT, so make sure to listen then. And from me, goodbye.
And from Freya, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.